Today on Focal Point, a message from Pastor Mike Fabares.
The sad thing is Christ has a lot of unfaithful friends, doesn't he? And if you felt that pain, if you want to make sure that you are a Peter and not a Judas, it's not because one sins and the other doesn't, because there's something different. We need to understand how this happens. If I'm a Christian, how is it that I continue to sin?
Are you a friend of Christ? Your immediate reaction might be, of course. But what if you encounter the same pressure disciples like Judas and Peter faced? How about then? Welcome to Focal Point. I'm your host, Dave Drewy. Well, today Pastor Mike Fabares is talking about Christ's unfaithful friends, helping us understand just how easy it is to deny Christ despite our best intentions. With so many polarizing issues, when push comes to shove, will we say, I stand with Christ? Well, that's our question today.
Of course, if you know where we've been in Luke 22, we've just been in the garden where Judas walks up and betrays Christ. And we look at Judas as this sinner in this passage. And of course, he is. For 30 pieces of silver, he's going to identify Christ so the Roman officials and the Jewish leadership can put him through this kangaroo court in the middle of the night on this Thursday night of Passion Week. Now, that's bad, but introduce this morning another sinner, and his name is Peter. You have Peter denying Christ three times. You have Judas, and he sins, he betrays Christ. You have Peter, he sins, he denies Christ three times over. And if you say, well, yeah, betraying Christ is a lot worse than denying Christ. Is it really? Think about what Jesus said in Matthew 10:33. He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. That's a serious way to talk about the very word that's used here, denial. He denies him. For Judas to sell Jesus' location out and identify him in a garden for 30 pieces of silver, yeah, that's one thing. But then to be the number one guy, always ranked first in terms of the list of the number one insider in the inner circle of Christ, and to have that person, when the heat is on, say, no, I don't know this guy, and deny him three times. I'm just saying, these are both big sins. But one, you... just because you know the Bible, you're going to say, this is a really bad sin. That's a catastrophic sin. This guy, I mean, he's an apostate. And then over here, you're going to look at Peter and you go, well, yeah, that's bad. And he stumbled and it wasn't good. But, you know, he got back in the game and he ends up being the preacher in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3 and 4. And thousands of people come to Christ and he becomes this great spokesperson for the gospel. The need for us to see the difference between those two, that the sin that I recognize in myself, because I'm past the lesson of Romans 2. I see that I'm a sinner, they're a sinner, and I see sometimes their sins looks a lot like my sin, but I'm categorizing my sin differently. I hope you see yourself in the second category, that I'm a Peter sinner and not a Judas sinner, and that's a distinction that needs to be made. And not all sins are the same, nor should they be classified the same, and it's not because one is worse than the other, but there's something about the circumstances that are relating to Peter's failure versus Judas's that we're going to say two different things. And I want to make sure I'm in that second category. I would rather, knowing that I'm a sinner, and I'm not going to deny it, I'm not going to be blind as a hypocrite and say everyone else is a sinner, I'm not. We're all sinners. Now, my non-Christian neighbor is a sinner, my non-Christian coworker, sinner. I, though, as a Christian, I'm a sinner too, but my sin, it's different. It's a different situation. Well, what is that different situation? Well, for one, we might even call it, as I, at least for the sake of our discussion today, I'm not saying these are hard terms throughout the New Testament in terms of distinction, but I will talk about Peter as a stumbling saint. He's a Christian, a stumbling saint. I will then speak of the sin of Judas as someone revealing his heart, revealing that he is really not with Christ at all. That distinction of a kind of betrayal that we would say theologically is apostasy, a defection, a spiritual defection versus a guy who stumbles and gets back in the game. Those are two different things, and yet the sins are both grievous. They're big. And there's sin going on in the lives of people you know that is spiritually catastrophic. And I would hope that as you leave, you go, yeah, I'm a sinner, I admit it, but my sin is not like that. And it's not just because my sin is not as bad as his sin. No, it's bad. It's just that you're Peter and not Judas. I hope that's the case, and I'll state it that way as we identify. And if you're a Christian, I hope even as I read the text right now, you can't help but identify. Verses 54 through 62. I'm going to read for you. Open your Bibles. Look at this passage. Get it in front of you. Let's walk through this. Just read it. Very familiar story. Beginning in verse 54. Remember the scene. Garden. They just showed up with cudgels and torches and swords, and they're ready to arrest Christ. And Judas leans in to kiss him, to identify him, the ancient Near Eastern sign of affection and knowledge of one another. They're friends. And then it says in verse 54, then they, the crowd, the mob, seized him, that is Christ, and led him, Christ, away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And down the Kidron Valley from where they're at, probably a 20-minute walk to get to the place historically that we consider to be where Caiaphas is, the high priest of Israel's house is. And Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard, we're in the courtyard of Caiaphas' high priestly house, a nice house. They sat down together. And Peter sat down among them. And then a servant girl, verse 56, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man was also with him. With who? With Christ. That guy over there in the crowd and the mob and all the interest and torches and everyone seeing him. And now he's in this place, in this palace, and everyone's looking at him and they want to crucify him and they think he's a blasphemer, is making himself out to be equal with God. Everyone has turned to the Romans, the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, the temple officers, the elders of the city. Everyone is bearing down. Hey, you, I see in the light of the fire here, you were with him. But he, the big word here, here's our word, denied. You just denied Christ. You denied Christ. How did you do it? Here's the word you said. You said it very emphatically. Woman, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. You just pledged your loyalty to him earlier in this chapter. Everyone else can follow. I will never follow him. You talk about the flakiness of these other, yeah, Thomas, I understand. Yeah, Nathaniel, sure, I get it. But me, I'll never follow away. Denied it. You look in a lexicon, the antithesis of words linguistically. To confess, here's the antonym, to deny. Nothing could be further than what God was asking him to do for the rest of his life. You confess me before men. You say, I know you. I'm your guy. I'm with you. I ally with you. I don't know him. A little later, someone else saw him, verse 58, said, you also are one of them. You were in the crowd. I recognize you. But Peter said, man, I am not one of them. No, I'm not one of them. After an interval of about an hour, verse 59, you think that's plenty of time for us to process in our own minds as we're watching here. Got my kind of my hoodie on over in the fire, and I got my cloak around me, and I don't want anybody to recognize, but I'm watching because I want to keep my eye on Christ, and he's over there trying to hear as much as I can hear, warming myself by the fire. An hour has gone by in this kangaroo court. And still another said, certainly, hey guys, I recognize this man right here. He was with him. For he too is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. Oh, really, Peter, you don't know what he's talking about? As you walked into villages preaching, here comes Jesus, the Messiah. As you watched him do miracles, you don't know what you saw him break bread and feed 5,000 men and their families. You don't know what you're talking about. Really, we don't know what we're talking about? Oh, in the right circles, you're there saying, yeah, I was there. I saw Jesus feed the 5,000. You know, I actually took a step out of the boat, walked on water when Jesus was walking on the water. I remember the day when Christ came. I followed Christ. All that testimony out the window now. Man, I don't know what you're talking about. Not me. And immediately, verse 60, bottom of the verse, while he was still speaking, that was just coming out of his mouth, maybe in the cold of that spring morning before dawn, as the light on the crest of the horizon was starting just to discolor the sky. And they'd been there during the night, maybe a little breath still lingering there that you could see coming out of his mouth. The rooster crowed. And you want a dramatic scene in the Gospels? And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. How far was it? Here to the parking lot? Here to the lobby? Peter's hiding in the shadows. Trying not to be recognized again. Now he's not going to be careful how he talks. He's giving himself away as a Galilean. And he's watching all of this, trying to listen, hoping the sound will bounce off the stone walls of Caiaphas' court. What are they saying now? What are they doing? They just hit him. What is happening? And as soon as he tells them, oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. And as soon as the breath is still coming, he hears the rooster. And then Jesus turns his head and looks at him from across the courtyard. Wow. And Peter remembered when those brown eyes of Mary's son, the Son of God, looked at him. He remembered the saying of the Lord and how he had said, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And that was it. He stood up. He went out. And he wept bitterly. Judas shed some tears too, no doubt. He marched back, probably with tears going down his cheeks, off of his beard, to throw money back at the Jewish folks who had paid him to deny Christ. He had a lot of pain too. On his way to go out and hang himself. I'll bet Peter felt like hanging himself. Think of the pain of that. I don't think you have to think very long about it, because I'll bet you've had conviction in your Christian life. I'm speaking now as though you're Peter. You know what it is to fail. You know what it is to say, I want to serve Christ. I never want to do that sinful thing again. I want to stand with Christ. I'm going to do what he says. I want to be his spokesman. I'm going to be his ambassador in this crooked and perverse generation. I'm going to stand up and stand with Christ. And then when the pressure was on, you didn't do it. Could have been a teenage girl who said, oh, are you a Bible believing Christian? You don't believe that stuff about homosexuality, and I mean, you don't believe that, do you? I mean, you're not against equality, are you? I mean, you're not into the cisgender binary only male and female thing. You're not into that, are you? You really don't believe a woman has a right to her own reproductive sex? You're not one of those, are you? Don't start. Are you a Bible believer? You one of those kind of fundamentalist Christians? Maybe there's been a time like that. You think, yeah, I walked away. I denied Christ. I said I don't stand with him. I distanced myself. We'd like to say we're the friends of Christ. You've noticed my subtitle. The sad thing is Christ has a lot of unfaithful friends, doesn't he? And if you felt that pain, if you want to make sure that you or a Peter and not a Judas, is not because one sins and the other doesn't, because there's something different. We need to understand how this happens. If I'm a Christian, how is it that I continue to sin? And more specifically, what's that driving factor? How do we get to that place? Number one on your outline, let's just consider verses 54 through 60. You know the story. We don't even need to really refer to it again. I mean, you know the story. He goes under the pressure of someone saying you're with him and denies Christ three times. You need, and I need, to know how we stumble like that. How does that happen? How does it happen that one day I can sit there going out of church, going, I'm going to live for Christ this week, and by Tuesday afternoon, I am not acting like a Christian. I am not willing to stand with Christ. Here's why. One word. Ready? Fear. That's why. Fear. That's the number one reason you and I do not stand with Christ in a hostile generation that, frankly, let me be as clear as I can, they hate Christ. They hate Christ. They hate the Christ that is the Christ of the Bible. You want a plastic Christ? You want some kind of figment of your imagination? Great, you can create a false Christ. But the real Christ, they hate him. They hate him. Because he does believe in everything that they think makes us bigoted, narrow-minded Christians. We get that from Christ. Christ said, I have to wear a pencil in my ear as I go to work. And that's what we have to do. Whatever he says, we do it. And he says things like he created the male and female. He says things like this in Luke chapter 1, that John, before he was born, he is a person with full rights and full dignity. He is a human being. He's made in the image of God. You better protect the sanctity of life. Just simple things that right now, I'm just picking hot buttons in our culture right now, and people look and say, if you believe that stuff, we hate you. Unless you've had your head in the sand, just look around in the last couple years. This has been a crazy culture that we've been living in. And if you don't stand with Christ, I know what's driving this. Fear. Fear. Now, is there a distinction between the kind of thing that's happening here and the kind of thing that happens with Jews? Absolutely. We would say this. There is a defection that takes place that is spiritual defection, where people do not bounce back. Peter bounces back. Here's how Jesus put it. He was telling the parables of the soil, and he talked about the seed that went into the rocky ground, and as it grew up, he said, even though it received the word with joy, that person represented by that soil, he received the word with joy, but soon as persecution arose because of the word, he immediately fell away. That is a defection that comes because there is fear of persecution. Well, wait a minute. That's exactly what you're saying happened to Peter. He's afraid. Look at it. Verse 54. He follows at a distance. Why are you following at a distance? Because you are afraid. But there's a difference. And to put it in the words of the Old Testament, Proverbs 24:16, the righteous, they can stumble. They can trip 7 times, but they rise again. Here's the problem, though. The wicked, they stumble. They fall in times of calamity, and it's over. They're done. The getting up certainly is a good sign. And that is what was predicted. Luke chapter 22, look back up to verse 31. Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded to have y'all, all of you, plural, second person pronoun, that he might sift you like wheat, like Satan before Job. I want this guy. Let me at him. But I prayed for you, singular, Peter. I just want to talk to you right now about what I'm doing. I'm praying to the Father for you that your faith, there's something that's different, real faith, Judas didn't have that, your faith may not fail. Oh, it'll be buffeted, it'll be sifted, it'll be attacked. And when you have turned again, not if you turn again, real faith always turns again. Real faith always turns back again. Then he says, you get to work at strengthening your brothers. Real Christians stumble, and we hate it. But you and I sin, and when we sin, I just want to focus in on why it happens. It happens for the same reason that Peter is not willing to say, yeah, I stand with Christ. I'm one of his. Take off your hoodie, off your cloak. Of course I do. And march over there and lock arms with Christ and say, anything you want to say to him, you can say to me, because I am a follower of Christ. Peter didn't do that. Why? He's afraid. Afraid of what? 4 words. Let me have you write them down. 4 words. Nothing fancy, nothing insightful here, other than the fact that Jesus named all 4 of these. Luke 6:22, and I'll read the end of the verse first. These things will happen on account of your relationship, on account of the Son of Man. You ally yourself with Christ in a sinful, crooked, perverse generation, and welcome to that. We live in one just like they did in the first century. Here's what he said. People will hate you. There's one word, hate. They will exclude you. There's another word. They will revile you. Third word, and they will spurn your name as evil. That's a categorical, you guys are bad. All of you guys are bad. They will hate you. I don't like that. What is fear? Fear is my uneasy feeling that if I keep walking down this path, I'm going to encounter some unpleasant things. What's the unpleasant thing? I don't like people hating me. I don't want that. I like them to like me. Hatred. You ally yourself with the Son of Man? Hatred. What's the next thing? Exclusion. I'd like to be able to be, you know, like I'm one of the guys. I'd be part of the group. I don't want to be excluded. Excluded. We're not going to invite you. We're not interested in having you in our group. You're not one of us. I'd like to be part of the group. Nope. To revile you. Now we're going to talk about you. Sometimes to your face, sometimes behind your back, but we're going to revile you. And fourthly, we're going to spurn your name as evil. We're going to say, you're one of those. And Peter, because he didn't want that and he feared that, here it comes, followed at a distance. There are some people here that'll high-five Christ, so to speak, on a Sunday morning. But when it gets to Tuesday afternoon, Thursday morning, we want to be followers of Christ, but can we please just follow at a distance? Can I follow in the shadows? You've seen the circus in the media this week about what's going on in D.C. Which, by the way, if you don't know that this is all about people's preference to want to be able to kill unborn children, then you don't understand anything about what's happening. This is not about the accusations, the claims, the counterclaims. It has nothing to do with that. You could clear all that up tomorrow, and no one's going to change their mind about this Supreme Court justice. You understand that. This is all about their desire to be able to kill unborn children. That's what this is about, okay? You need to understand that. But once you understand that and you recognize that all this vitriol and hatred toward this man is something that someone had a choice. It's his wife. To either stand with him or not stand with him. She knows she's going to get reviled. She knows she's going to be attacked because she's standing with someone who's going to be attacked. As he walks down the halls to the Senate chamber, the picture that stopped me in my tracks as I saw it in the news feed was a shot coming up from the ground with her holding his hand, walking into that place. And I thought, there is a picture of someone who knows going to be ridiculed by for standing by your man as he's attacked in that. Now, again, you could be on the other side of this. If you want to be, you can be. You go, okay, great. Because you think, well, maybe. Listen, okay, when it comes to Christ, there's no maybe about it. Christ is innocent and holy. Not only holy, he's already the judge of all the universe. And you're called to walk hand in hand with him, but you're walking into a workplace, into an extended family, into a neighborhood, into an American culture that hates him. And they're going to attack him. And you can follow from a distance, or you can grab his hand and say, I'm walking with you. And that's painful. Because not your message, not your thing, not your character, not your life, not your resume, not your background. And it's none of that for us. It's all about Christ. I'm going to stand with him. And whatever he says, I'm with him. And you've got a decision to make. Dad had a lot of funny phrases. I remember as a kid, one I used to hear all the time was, I wouldn't touch that thing with a 10-foot pole. Remember that old line? I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. I wondered as I grew up, what in the world does that mean? Where'd that come from? If you look it up, you'll find no one's really sure where it came from. There's theories about it. But the number one theory about it is a really weird burial practice that they had that actually made it into Louisiana, came from Spain apparently, or some Spanish burial thing about keeping a body from burial for a year in a temporary enclosure and then having to move that body from one enclosure to the other. A putrefied one-year-old dead body. And to take it with the practice apparently was taking it with a long pole, like a 10-foot pole, and to move that. Stinky and smelly and gross and putrid, and to move it. And to think that it could be, certainly, if that was your job, I mean, I wouldn't even want to do it with a pole. I don't want to get anywhere near it. It's disgusting and gross. And you know, the world thinks that of the genuine Christ, not the Christ of your imagination, not the Christ of the plastic, you know, best-selling books. I'm talking about the Christ that is found within the pages of the Bible. Not the Christ of your 15 favorite passages about Jesus, the real Jesus of Scripture. People hate him. And you're called to draw near to him, to stand with him.
Perhaps for some of us, our Christian experience hasn't been filled with the contempt that Pastor Mike Fabares describes Jesus experiencing in our passage today. But the more divided our country becomes over social, political, and religious points of view, the more we'll see signs of the world's true feelings towards Jesus. And in that moment, we're going to have to make a choice. Will we stand with Christ? You're listening to Focal Point and an important message titled, Christ's Unfaithful Friends. Well, whether you're a regular listener or today's your first time joining us, I'm sure you've noticed that Pastor Mike is a straight shooter. He says it like it is, right from Scripture. Because the truth is, as nice as it is to hear positive messages, they won't equip you to deal with the Christian life in a successful way. They may make you feel better for a time, but the only thing that will carry us through persecution is the rock-solid hope of the gospel. And that's why we're wholly committed to teaching the full counsel of God's Word. Now, if you've been strengthened through this program, will you partner with us today so we can continue reaching into hearts and homes with these daily messages? Give online at focalpointradio.org. And when you give a gift of any amount today to support the ministry of Focal Point, we'll send you a copy of Humility by Andrew Murray as our way of saying thanks. We study the life of Jesus as a model for us to follow, an example of true humility. And that's why Pastor Mike and the Focal Point team selected this brief but powerful book as this month's resource. Request the book Humility, The Journey Toward Holiness, today when you call 888-320-5885 or when you go online to focalpointradio.org. And if you'd rather send your donation by mail, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. So glad you joined us. And be sure to come back tomorrow for our weekly feature called Ask Pastor Mike. This time we're talking about what a thriving relationship with God looks like. Intrigued? Well, join us Friday for Focal Point.
Pastor Mike here. You know, it's an honor to be with you every day, helping you explore the depths of Scripture. But I want to be clear, no amount of Bible knowledge is ever going to save you. Be sure where you stand with God. Get in touch with us. We'd love to pray with you and for you. Visit us today at focalpointradio.org. We look forward to hearing from you.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.